Hello, and welcome to the Pragmatic Live podcast series, where we tackle the biggest challenges facing today's product management, product marketing, and data science professionals with some of the best minds in the industry. I'm Rebecca Caligeris, Vice President of Marketing at Pragmatic Institute, and your host for this episode. Today, I'm excited to welcome back one of my favorite guests and our resident Internet of Things expert, Daniel Elizalde, IoT consultant, author of the leading blog on IoT product management, and the creator of the IoT Decision Framework. Welcome back, Daniel.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. It's very nice to be back here.
Love having you. And your first podcast was great. We did sort of a introduction to the Internet of Things, what it is, why it's important, the impact on product management. And I thought today maybe we could go one step further. For those companies sort of new to IoT, what are the typical blind spots? And of course, how can product management help?
For sure. This is a topic that is dear to my heart because I've been working as a consultant for about 3 years, and I've talked to literally thousands of product professionals and companies around the world. And although every company is different, there's these patterns that I see over and over. Some of them are just your typical product management challenges, but there are others that I've identified specifically for IoT. So I've collected a few of them, and I actually teach a course at Stanford about these blind spots and how to launch products to market. So I think it's an important topic just to understanding what those could be so that we can figure out solutions that fit our company.
And I think it's a great second step in our podcast too, right? I mean, the first you have to understand it, and then you did such a great job of explaining. You're like, oh, I got this. but you know, there's a lot of things and a lot of companies that have gone through this process and started to move towards it. And I think anything we can do to help people avoid those potholes would be great. So what is one of the first blind spots that you talk about?
For sure. And with a caveat though, that the list is pretty big. And so based on the time we have here, I'll just cherry pick a couple that I feel are most relevant because they are a little bit different and unique to IoT. And then we'll just take it from there. Is that okay?
Perfect.
So the first one, the way I look at it is thinking about blind spots across the product life cycle. That makes it easier to think about, okay, where am I in the life cycle from? Am I in the section creating a business strategy? Am I in ideation or product strategy definition, planning, development, go-to-market? And so I found several blind spots across the whole life cycle. And the first one I want to talk about is before you go into the life cycle, which is a common problem in a lot of companies, leading with technology and not having a business strategy. So I see that a lot of companies are chasing IoT just because they feel it's the silver bullet that they've been expecting. And they launch into initiatives to say, we have to have an IoT something, product, service. And they really don't understand, first of all, how is that going to benefit their customers? And how is that going to benefit the business objectives that they have as a company? And as you can imagine, that is a pretty common blind spot for any company entering the technology space. I think it's specifically important with IoT because there's so much hype that I see a lot of executives just jumping and saying, give me an IoT, build me an IoT. I don't care what it is, just build me one. Right? And so I think that's a big, big challenge.
And I think that to your point, that's true with a lot of new technologies, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a shiny new object. Let's just go do this IoT. I need me an IoT. So what are some good steps to avoid that particular blind spot? What should we make sure we have in place to see that that's what we should be doing?
Of course. And what I often tell product people is that sometimes if you feel like you're struggling a lot to figure out your roadmap or understand what is it that you're going to build, oftentimes the challenge comes from not having a clear definition on the business outcome. So what is it that we're trying to accomplish as a company? And there's two aspects to that. One is understanding the business goals. So are we looking for more revenue? Are we looking for reducing costs? Are we looking for more market share? Those are some of the typical the business goals that we see out there. And based on that, then product leaders can look at that and say, okay, can I use the Internet of Things, which as we talked about in the previous episode, you know, if we can add sensors to physical devices in the context of our customer to gather data and analyze it to provide value, can I find a way to meet that business objective? So it's the goal here for the product leaders is to step back and say, wait, before you send me into a journey of trying to build you an IoT, let's talk about the problem. Are we trying to reduce cost in our supply chain? Okay, well, let me figure out if there's an opportunity for us to use IoT. And the answer might be yes or might be no. Right? But I think that is the discussion that product people need to have with executives. And I think it's very important for us to really push back and say, hey, we have to define this. And oftentimes, you know, executives don't think in these terms. So I think it's our responsibility to work with them and say, okay, I will build you an IoT if it's the best solution, but help me understand why, and I'll tell you the challenges, and I'll tell you whether that's something that we as a company are even ready to do.
And I mean, just like we teach, right? You start with the problem, you make sure that's the piece. When you know what problem you're going to solve, and then you can figure out what's the right approach to solving it and whether IoT plays a good role in that.
Yes. And this is a generic problem that we see a lot, but I start with that because all of the companies that I talk to, most of them struggle with this, right? And then you change the hype word, right? And it's the same problem, right? Oh, we need to go into artificial intelligence. Oh, we need to go into machine learning. Oh, we need to go into blockchain. Not really, right? So those are just tools, but we need to have that strategy. And I think the key that I've learned when working with these companies is that rarely that strategy is going to be just handed out to you. So I think that our goal is to identify that gap, that blind spot, and then understand that we can't move forward until we define doing that. So there's a lot of work for us to work with executives to help arrive at that point. So it's not just pushing back and say, give me the strategy. I think I've been guilty of that before. It's no, okay, well, let's work together and let me help you define that so that we can actually move forward.
Awesome. All right, so our first blind spot, wanting to do it because the technology seems cool, not necessarily because it's the best fit. What's the second blind spot?
Okay, so I mean, again, there's a huge list, right? But I'm cherry picking
for a time. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm cherry picking here. The next one I think is once the company decides that there's a certain outcome that can be addressed with IoT, then I see a couple of challenges here. One is not having a process to define a product strategy that can actually give you the business outcome based on IoT. And the reason is because a lot of companies are new to IoT. So they're hardware companies and they're trying to figure out how to do the whole connectivity and cloud and data, or they're just cloud companies, let's say, or software companies, and they have no idea how to deal with hardware supply chains, installation timelines, all those things. And so there's a lack of process for the product people to understand all the different pieces involved in building a product strategy for IoT, and that's where they get stuck. And so they cut a lot of corners, not because they are purposefully doing that, just they don't know what they don't know, right? And that's where a lot of the things that I teach to my clients and my students, my framework, the IoT decision framework, provides a structured approach on how to get to a process that you can reproduce within your company. And I guess we'll talk more about later. But so together with the lack of process, another related blind spot that I've seen is lack of a shared language. So it's very difficult for companies to get anything done if they don't speak the same language about this new initiative that they're going to embark. And probably you've seen it as well, right? People decide to go into, let's say, IoT, and then marketing thinks IoT is one thing and sales is a different thing and hardware engineering a different thing. And it's like this analogy of the six blind men that are touching an elephant and they all think that it's something else.
Yep.
And so part of the solution here is really to take the time to create a shared language that can help us articulate what IoT is and what IoT isn't. What are the different components of the end-to-end solution? And it's not a technology-centric perspective, right? These are the building blocks, and these are all the different parts that we're going to need, and this is the flow, etc. And it seems simple, but it actually takes quite a bit of time. And oftentimes, companies ask me, "So, what is the right definition or what is the right terminology? To be honest, there's no one because it's a huge space. The important thing is to agree within your company that this is how you're going to talk about things and to identify what these are. For example, should you call it hardware or should you call it smart device or should you call it connected device or should it be an IoT product? Who cares? The important thing is for you and your team to agree on something, then carry that nomenclature forward. So the goal is a shared understanding of what you're about to embark on, because without that, everything's going to fall through the cracks.
And I think that that shared understanding, it needs to be pretty broad and wide within the organization, right? As you said, it's not just a technology thing, but I would think the more of your organization that was in line with that understanding, the better. What are the most critical parts of the organization that need to be aligned around that?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I think it's an organizational effort, right? Because, for example, product management is going to need to figure out the strategy and drive the life cycle. But engineering, you're going to have hardware engineering, embedded engineering, networking engineering, cloud engineering, front-end engineering, and they all need to speak the same language. Of course, you're going to have DevOps, and then you're going to have field management, and then you're going to have marketing for all the positioning, and then you're going to have sales to understand the value and be able to offer it to customers. And IoT, it's an ecosystem play. So you're also going to have partners. So how are you going to communicate to them? So that has to be across the company. And that's where I think a lot of the value of product managers comes into play, because it needs to be a shared language that enables communication. It's very easy if the initiative for shared language comes from engineering and it's very, very technical language, right? It needs to be something that executives can speak that language, and engineers and marketers and supply chain managers, et cetera. So that's the only way to do it.
You know, it's interesting. I never would have thought of the fact that your partners have to be the same language. I mean, it makes complete sense once you say it, Daniel, but it's so true. I mean, so much of an IoT is going to absolutely use outside companies and spots in that. And for them too, to have the same understanding would be critical.
Yeah, I completely agree. And a lot of people, and that's actually one of the blind spots that I'm going to talk about in a second. But to add to this portion, there's a lot of terms talking about shared language, right? Probably you heard the term digital transformation. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of companies have to go to a quote unquote digital transformation in order to deliver this IoT type solutions. Well, I believe that a big part of digital transformation is this ability for the whole company to understand the strategy, the pieces, the terminology, and how their group fits into the overall thing, right? So I think that's a big component. And so digital transformation, again, is a very hypey term, but it is true in the sense that your whole company is going to be impacted by this initiative. It's not that you just say, hey, we're going to go into IoT, you know, hardware developer team, just build me a little box with an antenna and we're done. Right? This is going to affect the whole company. And so you have to treat it as such.
Excellent. All right. So that's the first three.
Yeah.
Of the many multitudes that they have, give me the next blind spot.
One that I think is very important is, I call it misunderstanding your company's capabilities. And this goes back to this idea of the ecosystem. See, when your customers get their IoT solution, they're going to expect an end-to-end solution that provides value to them. And that end-to-end solution, as we discussed in the previous episode, is going to have your device hardware, device software, networking technology, cloud, front-end applications, the whole thing, right? But what a lot of companies fall into as a blind spot is they think that they need to provide every single component of the stack. Not only provide it, but they also need to build it themselves, right? So I call this blind spot misunderstanding your company's capabilities, because companies that are traditionally strong in software, they might say, you know what, we're going to do this end-to-end IoT thing, and we're going to start building our own hardware. And they have no clue how hard hardware is. And if they've never done that, this is not the right time to do it. Or they might say, you know, we are a very strong hardware company, And our value proposition is really to analyze the data through machine learning. Let's actually focus on artificial intelligence and machine learning. And then I have conversations with them. It's like, how big is your data science team? What do you mean data science? What is that? And so, I mean, I'll kid you not. And so I think this is a very important thing, is to understand where are the strengths of your company that you can realistically add value to your customer. And this could be an extension of your core competency for your users. And then this is paired up with a build versus buy strategy. Build versus buy and partner strategy. So basically, every area of the end-to-end solution of IoT that you're not going to build yourself, you need to either buy it off the shelf or you need to bring in a partner to integrate it with you. And that is what makes IoT a big ecosystem play, because in order for you to deliver the whole value, it's going to be many players delivering the value. It's true that for your customer, you might own that relationship and you're the one throat to choke, as they say. But that doesn't mean that you don't have the responsibility of integrating all these other partners. And so companies understanding the challenge of going that direction is very important, and making the strategic decisions of saying, you know what, we're not going to build this because it's not in our core competency. I've seen companies literally spend hundreds of millions of dollars trying to build their own cloud platform because they thought they needed it. And then you can imagine how much that failed. And that wasn't necessary, right? You can just go with one of the ones, Azure IoT or PTC or one of those, and you're done. So I think this is a very important thing where product managers play a key role, because based on the shared language, and once that everybody talks the same language about what an IoT solution is, okay, now that we understand what this thing is, let's talk about which portions of this big solution we want to own, which ones we want to outsource, which ones we want to partner, and how is that thing going to work?
No, it makes a ton of sense that you have to, you know, again, know there's a problem that you're going to solve. Make sure that the places you're going to add, that this fits within your distinctive competencies, and then the places where you need to add on capabilities, really think about, are these critical and within your scope? Is this something widely available I can get somewhere else? Like, figuring those out makes a ton of sense. And I think in a lot of ways, from what you're talking about so far, these are blind spots that product managers have in their careers, almost, you know, with other products as well, not just IoT. But I do think because IoT is new and it's so large that the stakes may be not necessarily larger, but the risks are very acute. So it becomes particularly important that they focus on avoiding these blind spots.
I agree. And I think that's not only the stakes, but the timelines and the costs are a lot higher. And so if you get it wrong, you're going to get it wrong in a much bigger way.
That's true, especially for people moving from software, where there is, in fact, cost, right? But it's a very different model than when you start to build in and expand into a hardware spot. And the timelines and all of those make it a bigger investment.
For sure. Yes, exactly.
Awesome.
And so one of the things that I want to point out is that you've seen, as I've mentioned, several blind spots, and we haven't even gotten to the development part. So these are just the business and the strategy and the road mapping area. And so you can see that there needs to be a lot of work by the product leadership of a company just to align these kind of things before you jump into development. And I think that a lot of times speed to market and speed of development get misconstrued, and people say, no, we're agile, we're just going to jump in and put our developers, and you know, in 2 weeks we're going to start delivering production code. It's like, but what is it that you're building and why? So this initiative of figuring out your strategy as a company and your shared languages and figuring out where your strengths lie, that could be an effort that could take months, right? And so I am a big fan of the lean methodologies of like, try something small and fail quickly. But we're not there yet. We haven't gotten to that point, right? You still have to figure out some other things as a company, how you're going to attack things. And then you're going to start testing ideas and validating ideas, right? But I think a lot of companies just jump this whole step and it's like, let's put up a you know, a web page that has our new gadget and let's hire, you know, 3 developers for machine learning and let's have them do stuff. And, you know, it's like, well, that doesn't work like that.
Right. What's your job description? I do stuff.
I do stuff, but I'm agile. I do agile stuff.
Right. And it's super important stuff.
I see. Exactly. It's the cutting edge type.
Right. Do you have time for one more blind spot?
I do, actually.
Excellent.
Let's skip ahead a few. Mm-hmm. We'll save them for another time. But I think one that I really want to emphasize is this idea of launch readiness. So let's say we skip development and we are going to the go-to-market stage. And this launch readiness is very important. And again, if we are talking about some lean methods, we are going to launch an MVP, right? So we're going to still evaluate the market. We're trying to fit to find product market fit. But the difference is that with IoT, that MVP is a lot more elaborate because it has a lot more parts. And so what I have identified as a blind spot with launch readiness is that some of these companies are not ready to figure out how to launch something into the market. And what I mean by that is that particularly software companies have never deployed physical hardware into the real world. And then traditional hardware companies are used to the model where once you sell your physical device, you're done, right? But with IoT now, as a vendor, you have 24/7 connectivity to that device and it builds a new relationship with your customer. So your transaction doesn't end with you selling the device. And so what I've noticed is that some of these companies don't plan for the going to the what I call the customer life cycle, right? Which is sales, right? Selling it and speaking more about B2B and industrial type of applications. Like what do you need to actually sell and demonstrate this thing? Installation, who's gonna install it? How is that gonna work, right? Let's say that you're building devices that add smarts to wind turbines to do predictive maintenance. Well, who's gonna climb up the wind turbines and actually install those things? What about provisioning and onboarding? In terms of operations, like day-to-day operations, who's gonna be monitoring all the data that comes in? Who's gonna manage the patching for security or for updates? Who's gonna be monitoring the health of the fleet? How are you gonna do maintenance and decommissioning? So that aspect that has to do with supporting a device in the field is something that a lot of companies don't think about because they're more used to just, you know, putting a product out and I'm done. So having a thinking about how are we going to handle that and what does our product need to have to make those steps manageable, right? What do we need to put in our product today so that we have the right data so that we can keep health monitoring metrics on our device or that we can do over the air security patches, etc. Right? So, it's a big area, right? But I think it's important to think about, as you think about this blind spots across the product lifecycle, they have to, even though I'm talking to them as they are sequential, but in reality, you have to think of all of them at the same time because your initial product strategy has to cover what are you going to do for installation? And your roadmap has to include how are you going to do over-the-air updates and those kind of things, right? So I think that's an area where having visibility and understanding what's going to happen once the product leaves your company's door, it's going to be critical. And a lot of companies miss that part.
Makes complete sense, right? Like you said, this is an ongoing commitment, an ongoing level of interaction that the client with your clients and products that a lot of these companies aren't used to being able to support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, it has to do with all the departments in your company. For example, I've talked to some companies that they deploy a solution and then they are providing an as a service model. And so they charge their customers for how much usage time their particular device gets. And that all sounds great. But then once they launch, they're like, oh, our accounting team has no visibility into how to collect that data to know how much do we need to charge our customers? Oh, okay. Well, that was a that was important, right?
Right.
So all these decisions have to be taken into consideration, because when you're launching, you know, all the different departments need to be ready. And of course, I'm talking MVP, but still, there needs to be a way for you to get that information. There needs to be a way to do those things.
Awesome. All right, we talked about a lot of different blind spots, and of which, and I know, again, it's just a small portion of those blind spots. So let's, I mean, I think the obvious question too is then, when someone's getting to this spot, besides listening over and over to our podcast series, obviously, Daniel, what else? What else would you recommend that, look, if this is seriously where you're heading, here are some things that you guys should do right now to prep?
Yes. So other than, of course, listening to this podcast and, you know, my podcast and all the classes I think I teach, of course.
Right.
I think it's very important to rely on the ecosystem. And so your technology vendors will have a lot of expertise on all these multiple areas. So for example, if you decide to get off-the-shelf hardware that is designed for IoT, they understand how to do the asset management and the health checks and the, right? So talk to them, talking to those partners. And then the other partners are system integration partners, because oftentimes another blind spot is that people don't tend to think of this solution as a system. And so there's going to be a lot of in-between steps that get lost in the process. So talking to experienced system integrators that have deployed these types of solutions in the market, they can help you identify these blind spots for your company and for your particular product, right? Because it is true that this is very new and we're all trying to figure it out. But there's a few of us that have actually gone through this many times. And although we don't have the answers, we've kind of experienced a lot of the pains already, right? And so whether that be some of the big consulting companies or some of the smaller system integrators, usually when you select your technology partners, they usually already come, quote unquote, with their ecosystem of preferred service partners, right? And so thinking about those things and having a lot of those conversations before you jump into this kind of thing and then realizing that there's a lot of blind spots that you didn't cover.
Awesome. All right. Anything else you want to share today, Daniel?
Other than IoT is a really exciting field, but it's very complex. And so we have to take it with baby steps, and nobody has really figured it out. If anybody comes to you and says, we have the right models, we have the right technology, we have the right systems, we're all trying to figure it out. So talk to as many people as you can, people in product, people in technology, and make sure you define clear objectives of what you want to get out of your initiatives, and then, you know, take it one day at a time.
Awesome. All right, will you join me again sometime?
I would love to. It's always great talking to you, Rebecca.
Awesome. And for those of you who don't want to wait till our next episode to get some more information, I highly recommend that you check out Daniel's blog, which is danielelizalde.com. That's Daniel, ELIZALDE.com. And we'll also put that in the description so you can, if you're driving, don't try and jot that down.
Thank you so much. Yes, I look forward to more conversations. This is a fascinating topic, but I might be biased.
No, I totally agree. So it's okay. All right. That does it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to join us next week when we tackle another great topic designed to help you elevate your product, your company, and your career.